This is Twit.
The visual art technology company Red Giant has brought a lot of excitement to the industry with a number of products designed for filmmakers and visual effects artists to help sweeten their own creations, such as the case with the recent release of Universe 2.2, which is an update to Red Giant Universe that houses the company's stockpile of effects and tools for content creators. And along with the release of those new tools came a Red Giant film. And we have the actor from the short film with us, none other than David Hewlett. Welcome back to the network, David.
Thank you much. Always a pleasure.
Yeah, it's great to get you back. It's been a little while.
I looked at my Skype. I think it's been like a year.
Dang it. Well, that's wrong, and I'm happy to have you back. So you have a short film that you produced with the folks with these awesome tools here called Hewlogram that showcases the capabilities of the suite. Tell us a little bit about how you came to be involved in this.
Huh. I mean, you're flattering me by saying producing, because it was actually produced by an amazing guy called Egan Vogelson, I believe it is. I never get his name right. But and Aaron was the guy who's the brains behind the whole operation. But I know you probably find this hard to believe, but I'm a bit of a nerd. And
okay.
I love visual effects. I grew up on sort of 80s movies and television and Doctor Who. And those were, I just loved that whole aspect of the filmmaking process. In fact, that's sort of what dragged me in as much as the acting. And so I'm always looking for new stuff. And I see a huge split between how things are being made in the film industry and then what's happening in sort of the indie world where people on the internet and short films and really indie films are being made. And there's this huge difference where in the Hollywood world, there's all this sort of jargon and this is the dark arts of visual effects. And then in the indie world, there are people who are writing, directing, doing all the VFX, doing it like Aaron did on this. And I found their short films and was so impressed with them. I didn't even realize they were like ads. I thought they were just great short films. And then I got in touch with Aaron and said, I literally tweeted him. I think I said, I will act for software. and he, true to his word, he got me a bunch of the software. I started playing with it. And when the film came up, he wanted me to do some green screen shooting, like just do some stuff in my basement, because God forbid I should leave my basement. And I said, well, why not? Like, New York's not that far away. Why don't I just come down and we'll come and do it? And we did. And I'm just, God, it's why I got into filmmaking, this kind of stuff. Because it's just a bunch of nerds, film nerds who love doing this stuff. And they're all there because they want to be there, not because they're trying to, you forget when you're acting for as long as I've been doing that it's not a business.
Yeah.
You got into it because you love doing it.
Right.
And this mix of technology and art and just passion is just so, it's like a full recharge, basically.
Nice.
So when I first saw this, was unaware. I read the email wrong recommending it to me. I thought it was an actual series, like Stranger Things. Am I the only one that made this mistake? Because I was very sad to find out that it was just a fake trailer. Have people asked you? Have they been clamoring at your door for a real series? Or do I have to come there and ask for it myself?
If you could, that'd be great. That'd be fantastic. it's funny. A lot of people brought it up. It's just such a... I mean, my father was very confused by it. He just couldn't figure out. He's like, well, why would you make it look so old? But this is what we grew up on. Like, I wasn't, I wasn't an Automan fan. I didn't really know the show that well until Aaron introduced me to it. It was Knight Rider and mm-hmm. Doctor Who and all, the 80s, the early 80s, late 70s, early 80s are these fantastically cheesy, fun science fiction like V and Martian Chronicles, all this kind of stuff that came out then that I remember. And then Knight Rider, of course, Knight Rider, Airwolf, there's just so many fun, cheesy shows that came out there. And this is, I think you walk a fine line with this stuff because you want to appreciate it, but you want to mock it, but at the same time, you don't want to lose that love of it. And I think Aaron just walked that perfect balance of both sort of, awe and love of what he was making, and also just sort of making fun of it, given where it is now. The idea of that's what computers look like, reel to reel tape machines. That's what. And I just love that my character is still just like, oh, the magical mystery of computers.
Is Aaron an actor too? That's Aaron that we're looking at in the film, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is he also an actor?
Aaron is not an actor. He was really, really nervous about it.
He was great.
He's amazing. They're all amazing. This is the thing is, I fell in love with it, not just because of the movies or even the software. It's almost like a community. There's all like, you know, this film wouldn't have happened if Aaron didn't, you know, first off, love the 80s, but also if he didn't know all these people. Like, he's got this fantastic sort of community of people who will help out with different things that they're good at. And so some of them are better at, you know, different aspects of the filmmaking process. Some are better at the 3D design. Some are better at the compositing stuff. And they love doing it. And they all love, I mean, it's almost impossible to not love Aaron too. Like Aaron, literally, I met him. I'd never met him in real life before. I'd only talked to him via email and some internet chatting. And we're in the elevators, me, my son, and my wife. And when this elevator grew up to this odd little studio that they were shooting in, I suddenly turned to my wife and I said, you know, I've never met him. Like, he could meet us with like a running chainsaw. I've never met this guy. So my son sort of blanched right away. He was terrified. But Aaron sort of walked out of the office and we literally finished a conversation we were having. I forgot to introduce myself. Like, it was just, you know, we're playing with puppets and I got this sausage blue suit on and it was just like, oh, yeah, just, you know. Another day with Aaron.
There's another day at Red Giant.
That's it.
I'm also a kid of the 80s, so I've really kind of synced pretty closely to the visual aspects of this and getting that right, which is not a very easy thing to do. I feel like so often, like going back in time and trying to recreate the visual aesthetic of a time that, you know, that is so obviously in the past is very difficult. At the time, I'm sure it was high tech, but now reproducing it with modern tools, like, it's possible, but I feel like we've tried this before and it hasn't worked. Why do you think now it's so easy to do? Like, it's been so democratized thanks to Red Giant and their tools here. I mean, what was it like kind of filming with that aesthetic in mind?
It's amazing to me how immediate this stuff is now, in that you can get a really good sense of what works and doesn't work. And it was, I mean, again, I didn't have to deal with this stuff. This is Aaron, like, entirely. And, you know, originally we tried some special material that would reflect the light in the right way and try to go for those, because it was, all of these were like practical and rotoscope effects, like really time consuming stuff. And, you know, we wouldn't be that crazy. So we, you know, we ended up trying to sort of like, you're almost trying to like cheapen up the materials that you can do this so well, you know, you can make this stuff seamless. The idea is not to make it seamless and to somehow come up. So there's a million different tests. And one of the other things I love about the Red Giant guys is all of the behind the scenes stuff. Like, I mean, if you can get over me in the sausage suit, there's so much information about how they make this stuff happen. Like, they're completely transparent about stuff. They'll say like, oh, that didn't work. This worked better. Try this. They're also, you know, they support other people as well. So they'll talk about, you know, Video Copilot, who's another amazing site for this kind of stuff. You know, they'll, you know, send out, you know, they'll call out to various different other VFX people who've done stuff before. And they're just incredibly sharing with this stuff because, again, they just, you know, it's like a rising tide raises all boats. They figure like, if we get better at this stuff, then the film's going to get better. They're going to have more fun. They're going to have more work. You know, so it's really Aaron. I mean, you should talk to him about the specifics, but I know he did a number of tests. I kept getting sent sort of different like shoes and things that he'd done different effects on, or different people had tried things on. And then eventually they settled on the one that they went with. And it's just, again, it's got this beautiful guy. Like, yeah, there's the original base, you know, versus the new one. And yeah. So I would get things like, I'd get like a Wellington boot with glowing stars on it sent to me, and he'd go like, what do you think of this? And I'm like, it's great. You know, so like, he just had so much fun with it too. Yeah. It's hard not to get sort of wrapped up in that stuff. Like when you're working with people who, I love that he put a parental. We did those tests, and my wife said, "You just I'm not going to New York and having you run around like that. You can't do that. It's just the mystery is gone." And I think I even put a sock. I think I put a rolled up sock in there the first time. And eventually I said, look, I think we're going to need a cup of some sort. You know, it was like our first conversation. I'm sorry. The sausage is obscene.
Yeah. So, now the mystery really is gone. That
is. Yeah. I've killed the mystery. Yeah. But I still wear the socks. So, you know.
Okay. Speaking of embarrassing people, I read that you volunteer at your son's middle school PC club. And I was curious, do these middle schoolers know who you are, or do you just go on the down low? And or do you like slip them links of your old YouTube videos? Stargate.
I'm shameless in that I tell them, I like, no, you don't understand. Like, I'm basically famous. They could care less. Now, so what I've started doing is like now talking to every YouTuber I could possibly meet, because then that's where my credibility comes in.
Right.
Yeah, they could care less about Planet of the Apes or Stargate or any of that kind of stuff. Like, nah, whatever. Guillermo del Toro, nah, big deal. We got, you know, but you know Diamond, you know Dan TDM or Stampy or so that's, you know, and the PC club is just, the PC club is just because as a kid, I used to just love tearing stuff apart and always thought that I was a bit of a failure because I could only take them apart. I couldn't put them back together again. Right. It turns out I was a failure, but I also in the process learned what all these things did. And so I see kids who aren't as sort of, they aren't necessarily the top 10% geniuses in the class, loving this stuff because they're learning by destroying stuff. Mm-hmm. So we're breaking stuff. We've got some robotic arms. We've got some, I'm trying to get some people to print out some prosthetic arm stuff for us, because one of the kids has a partially formed arm and she loves programming now. So I want to give her something that she can actually make, do something.
That's awesome.
You know, some rude gestures or something. And we call them the tech terrors. So I'm hoping that they'll live up to their name.
That's amazing. I bet their parents, if they tell their parents, which my experience with middle schoolers is I get no information from my kids when they come home, but their parents would know who you are. So if they ever find out, they're going to be really mad that they weren't invited to class.
There's one mom who keeps saying, "Good morning, Dr. McKay," to me. And I keep saying, like, it's just David. David's fine. Awesome. I'm not a doctor. I'm scared someone's going to, like, choke or something. They're going to come running. Well, you're a doctor. Only on television.
I played one on TV. Tell us a little bit about The Shape of Water. You mentioned Guillermo del Toro, awesome director, by the way. Tell us a little bit about this project.
Again, another one of those. I've been really lucky of late in that I have this sort of love-hate relationship with the film industry where, if I could just do it without money, it would just be so great. But you have to earn a living and you have to work. And this Guillermo project came up and I was like, oh, great. Add that to the resume. That'll be amazing. You put Guillermo on there. I'm sure that'll help me get some parts. And I was really, I didn't realize how jaded I was until I got in there and we started doing rehearsals and he would say, "What do you think?" And you'd be like, "What? You're the guy. I'm just an actor." He's so inclusive. He's so excited about this stuff. He's such a nerd. Like, he's a total film nerd. And so you just sit there just talking about comic books. And he sort of reconnected me with this idea of doing it because you love doing it. Like, why else would you do it? Like, he truly doesn't understand. And maybe this is like he always refers to his, sort of his Mexican heritage and stuff. Maybe it's a cultural thing, but he's like, why? If, unless it's something you would die without making, why would you make it? I was like, well, money? He's like, money. Like, he's just an amazing, wonderful guy. And he's one of those people who makes you feel like you are their best friend. And yet he's best friends with everybody and it doesn't bother you. I haven't drawn since I was 10 years old, probably. I haven't done any. I used to doodle and do little comic books and stuff. Awful ones, I should add. But I picked up a book and started drawing again just because of working on his film. Because as he said, it's not about, doing it right for other people. It's about doing it because you like doing it.
Right.
Like, what's, why stop doing something because you're not professional quality or whatever. So luckily he didn't say it about my acting. So
right on. That's awesome. So The Shape of Water, I believe that comes out next month, right?
I think it's next month. Yeah. And it's doing, I mean, I haven't seen a bad review. I'm sure someone will find one for me now, but it's just this lovely movie, especially nowadays. It's such a great film about, about a group of people who don't fit in banding together to help someone achieve what they want. I mean, it's just, it's, and it's, and that said, I would, my initial pitch for it was, I said, well, it's basically like a woman who falls in love with a creature from the Black Lagoon, you know, as one would.
As you do.
Yeah.
It makes a whole lot of sense.
Of course. Yeah.
Well, David Hewlett, it's always a pleasure getting the chance to chat with you and kind of catch up with everything that you've got going on, because you've got a fun life, it sounds like. where do you want people to go to find more information about what you're doing? I guess upgraderequired.org?
Yeah, upgraderequired.org would be great. Yeah, that's the latest thing I'm working on now, sort of a Mythbusters-style quest to render disabilities obsolete through technology. So some crazy fun inventions for people with disability related issues. And I'm hoping to have some fun with that and maybe even, you know, start like a bit of a movement with it. So could be kind of fun.
That's awesome, David. we really appreciate you taking time, and best of luck with everything. Best of luck next month with the movie release. Awesome.
Thank
stuff.
You so much, guys. Yeah, whenever. Man, I love Twit. So, you know, you name it. Time and place, I'm there. Thanks, all guys.
Right. Sounds good. We'll talk to you soon, David.